The second thing, so that first one was concerning our physical life, what we need physically to live. The second one concerns our spiritual life. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Forgive us our debts. Debts, and this is our shortcomings, our old-fashioned word, trespasses, unpopular word, our sin, the things we have done wrong. And you know what? If we don't have forgiveness, it's made clear to us what we are is dead. If our sins are not forgiven, we are dead. So this is life and death we're talking here. Forgiveness is life and death. Just like bread, our daily bread, is the difference between life and death physically, forgiveness is the difference between life and death spiritually. And Jesus says we're to pray that we will be forgiven. And what a wonderful thing that is. You have messed up, I have messed up. And it can hang over us. And Jesus says, no, you can be forgiven. You can be free. See that burden that's on your shoulders? You can get rid of it. And it's not just a one-off. There's a point in our lives where we can turn to Jesus and say, look, I'm fed up with this. I want to turn to you, and I want you to forgive my sins and for you to be in control of my life. And that is a great moment. It's like having this enormous weight taken off your shoulders. But that's not the end of it. We keep picking up weights along the way. And we need that forgiveness day by day. There's some people here, and maybe you've never known that freedom. Maybe you've never known what it is to be forgiven, to be washed clean, to have that weight taken off. And I'd say to you today, don't let today go past with you carrying that weight. Something you said to your mum or dad, something you did at work, something you stole, whatever it was, don't carry it around any longer. Jesus says, come to him and ask for his forgiveness, and he will indeed give it to you. But this one's got a sort of barb. You know, a barb is on a fishing hook. You know, it's a barb in this one. There's a second part to it. It says, forgive us our debts. And then it says, as we forgive those who have trespassed, going into the King James Version there, those who have trespassed, sinned against us. This isn't such good news, is it? This looks like saying, well, if you do your bit, then God will do his bit. And I don't know about you, but I haven't done my bit. Well, I've done it partially, but I haven't done my bit. Does that mean then that God said, ha, Alan, you only managed to score 50%, so I'm only going to score 50%. Is that what it's saying? Because it seems to be saying it. And in fact, if you read down to the end of where we were, just in case we didn't see the connection, Jesus underlines it. He says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But, I don't like but. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So what do you make of that? What do you make of that? Oh, yes, we know Ephesians. Well, Jesus didn't know Ephesians, so maybe his theology went a bit wobbly at this point. We know Ephesians. It's by grace that we're saved, not by works. We're not forgiven because we forgive people. But Jesus says these two are linked. Well, I think this is hard. This is hard to understand. And I use this illustration because I recognize it's weak, but it's the best one I got. Who can tell me what that is? I know it's more than any of you have ever seen in your lives, but what is that? It's a 100 rand note. How do you know it's a 100 rand note? I know it's a 100 rand note because it says at the top South African Reserve Bank, it says 100, and it's got a picture of Nelson Mandela, and it's blue. And by the way, there's a little line down the middle just to prove I didn't make it in the bathroom this morning. So that's a 100 rand note, isn't it? Well, what's that? Sorry? What's that? It's a 100 rand note, isn't it? It's got a, well, it says something in some language I can't pronounce. It says 100 and it's got a picture of, I think, a Cape Buffalo. Now, which one is the 100 rand? You see, if you have one and not the other, it's not the 100 rand. And you can't say, oh, I want a 100 rand that's only got a picture of Mandela on it. Because when you go to the shop, they will give it back to you. And that's a bit like forgiveness. It's not that we earn forgiveness by forgiving people. It's not that you, Nathan, have been horrible to me and I have forgiven you, so God says, Alan, well done, I'll forgive you too. That's not the story. The story is that if we are forgiven people, then we forgive. Just because something swims doesn't make it a fish. But if it's a fish, if there's a fish that doesn't swim, then it's probably not a fish. If we claim to be people who have been forgiven, it's inevitable that we will forgive. Can't split those two things. Now, we're not going to be good at it. We're not going to be perfect at it. We probably may not be even very good at it. But that's going to be the characteristic. And again, it's us and we. It's not Alan and Doug. It's us and we. We need to be people who are forgiving people. We need to be a community that's encouraging forgiveness. We need to be people who talk as if we forgive. I mean, joking aside, England is no good at rugby. But actually, what's at the heart of that in my heart? In my heart, there's actually, I find it very hard to forgive England for invading my country 800 years ago and ruling us for their best interest for 800 years. I find that very hard to do. And in Ireland, we still fight over things that happened hundreds of years ago. We are not good at forgiving. South Africa actually say, you are actually quite good at forgiving. No, actually, I think you're very good at forgiving. I've seen it in white communities, I've seen it in Indian communities, I've seen it in black communities. Forgiving people after 30 years, not 300 years. But we need, as a group, as a family, to be forgiving people, encouraging one another, not retaining long-lasting cultural unforgiveness. But we need to be forgiving people. Thirdly, I think Nzuzo said he'd walk out if I speak for more than half an hour. Third thing is looking at a godly life. So what have we got on the shopping list so far? One is asking for our basic essentials for life. Secondly, asking for our basic essential for spiritual life, forgiveness. And the third thing we're asking for is the necessities for a godly life. Let's read what it says. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is I want to live a godly life. I want to live, I don't just want to be alive, I want to live a life that glorifies God and is like Him. Now, I have to tell you, temptation is something I love. I love temptations. And that's just the way it ought to be. Let me illustrate. I am never tempted to eat too much chocolate cake. Chocolate cake gives me migraines. And I don't like migraines, so I am never tempted to eat too much chocolate cake. Pavlova, on the other hand, I love pavlova. Especially, she made a crispy meringue base. Oh, lots of cream on top, and then piled with raspberries. Oh, it's really good. And I'm very tempted every time she makes it, I am tempted to eat too much. A couple of weeks ago, I ate so much, I was sick. You see, I like pavlova, and that's why it's a temptation. We're not tempted by things we don't like. We're not tempted by things that we don't enjoy. We're tempted by things that we do like. But there's two categories, I think, within this. First of all, there are things that seem good at the time. You've done something, and somebody, your parents, your teacher, your friend, your child, asked you, did you do it? And in that instant, you're thinking, okay, I can own up and say I did it and take the consequences. That's not very nice. Or I can tell a lie and then there are no consequences. That looks like the better option to me. Well, it looks like in that second, when you make that decision, yeah, but when you think about it later, okay, you've told a lie, okay. Well, you have to be very careful. Next time, you have to tell another lie to cover up that lie, and you have to be very clever to remember to do all that sort of stuff. And it means that when you meet your mum or your dad, there's something between you. You can't quite look them straight in the eye, and that relation goes a bit pear-shaped. And really, if you think about it for any length of time, it wasn't a very good idea to lie in the first place. The consequences weren't good. But of that moment, you thought, yeah, that's good. So you are thinking, should I have sex with my boyfriend or girlfriend? And in that moment, it seems good. In that moment, you think, well, everybody's doing it. It's nice. It's enjoyable. Oh, it's all, we love each other. It seems right at that time. But actually, after a while, that fellow or girl has moved on, and you're thinking, oh man, why did I do that? See, it seemed right. It seemed attractive at the time, but on further consideration, it wasn't such a good idea. And look around the room, especially you young people, go and ask some of the older people. We've been down those streets, we've been around those corners, and we've had those regrets. So there are things that look good, and they're not so good. And then there are other things that actually are good. And this is a difficult one. There are things that are good, and we are tempted to do them, but it's not actually what God wants us to do. So maybe what God wants you to be a school teacher in Maritzburg, but you've got very good grades in your exams, your school's very keen that you go to Cape Town and do medicine, and that's all good. But God wants you to be a teacher. Are you going to be tempted to become a doctor? I said, nothing wrong with being a doctor. You live in a perfectly good house, and then you get a promotion, you get more income, you've paid a bit off your bond, and you could afford a bigger house. It's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with a bigger house. The children would each have their own bedroom, blah, 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 blah. It's good. The question is it what God wants me to do, or am I being tempted to do it? Well, Jesus has the answer here, I'm glad to say. And his answer isn't resist temptation. And on my track record of resisting temptation, I'm very glad that's not what Jesus has to say. I have a bad track record on resisting temptation. Reference the story about the pavlova. Okay, and that would stand for many stories. I have a very bad track record when it comes to resisting temptation. So Jesus doesn't say, resist temptation. Jesus says, look at, what does he say? What does Jesus say about sin? Jesus says, lead us not into temptation. Keep us far away from it so we don't know about it. Help us not even to see it. Because I know as soon as I see that pavlova, bang, that's it, I've eaten too much. And Jesus is saying, let's pray that we're kept away from temptation. So tell Sheena not to make the pavlova in the first place. That would solve the problem. And this is hard to give an example of, because in our lives, what we're saying is there want to be things that could have drawn us away, and we don't even want to have known about them. So these are things that we're actually oblivious to. We never knew that there was a temptation there because God shielded us and took us another way. I've one little example from my own life. When I was in my mid-30s, career going quite well, I'm working in this business, and there's a reorganization of the business, and I have a good friend who's about the same age as me, same level in the company, and he comes and says, in this reorganization, he really needs to apply for this job if his career is going to take off. So he applies for the job, he gets the job, and his career takes off. He earns more money than he has any clue what to do. He works at least a 12-hour day, 6 days a week, at minimum that. At most, he gets 2 weeks holiday in the year. His family, his wife and his son, they hardly ever see him. He's now in his early 70s, I say, with more money than he'll ever be able to spend. And what's he doing? He's 73, I think. He's working. Because that's all there is in life for him, is work. Now, it was only recently occurred to me, at that stage, at the time of reorganization in that business, there was a position that I could have applied for. And if I'd applied for that, maybe I would have got it. If I had got it, my career would have taken off. I would have more money than I would know what to do. I wouldn't know my wife and family. I wouldn't be in South Africa. What would I be doing? Well, I would still be working somewhere in the UK and earning even more money, not knowing what to do with it. And that just occurred to me, I never thought of applying for that job. Now, I was a fairly ambitious sort of guy. I liked promotion. It never occurred to me. You see, God led me away from temptation. I wasn't tempted to apply for the job because it never almost. I don't know why it didn't occur to me. No idea. But God kept me safe from going down a path. So Jesus says, lead us not into temptation. Then he goes on and says, deliver us from evil. Now, if Nzuzo wants to walk to Checkers and buy something after church, I'm not too worried. Now, there's a few potholes along the way. Yes, he could trip. He could get knocked over. These things are possible, but I'm not really worried about it. I think Nzuzo's got his head screwed on. He can get to Checkers safely and back again. Now, if you told me, Alan, by the way, there's a lion out there in the car park. Do you think I'd say, oh, yes, fine, Zuzi, off you go. Off you go to Checkers and get your bag of chips. No. I wouldn't say that. I would be saying, hold on, Zuzi, I think we can live without the chips. Now, let's just stay inside the building here, where we're safe. Maybe we could sneak into the car a bit later. Well, the Bible tells us that's what evil is like. Evil is a lion looking for you and how to pounce on you. So, Nick, you've got your own particular strengths, weaknesses, things you like, things you don't like. And I can tell you there's a plan that says, got Nick at the top of it. And then below that, it says, here's how we get Nick. There's a different one for you, Trevor. There's a different one for you boys and young people around this table. Different one for you grade 11s and 12s. It's individual. It's got your name on it, and it says, this is how we're going to get him, or this is how we're going to get her. And Jesus very wisely gets us to pray, deliver us from that. Because my common sense won't suffice. My own defenses won't work. I need God to deliver me from it. So in summary, three things we learn before we pray. One is we're praying on behalf as part of a community, not just me. Let's remember that this week. We're praying on behalf of a community that stretches all around the globe. Secondly, we're talking to God. And he's right there beside us. He's not distant. He's not in any way remote. He is right beside. Isn't that amazing? You squeeze in 10 minutes reading your Bible and praying in between very important games on PlayStation. You squeeze it in. Guess who's there? God. God doesn't say, sorry, I'm too busy playing PlayStation. God's right there with you. Anytime, every time, he's there. And by the way, he's the God who made, sustains, and redeemed the entire universe. Second point. Third one is, God, we want your will because that's good. Romans, we read, it's good, pleasing, and perfect will. Let's remember that this week. We're praying for our daily needs, what we need to stay alive, what we need to stay alive. We're praying about forgiveness, that we would know forgiveness, and as part of that, that we would be forgiving people. And thirdly, we're praying, Lord, keep me a million miles away from temptation. Don't let me get anywhere close to it, because I know what I'm like. And Jesus says he knows what we're like. He said, pray that we'll be kept away from temptation. And pray that we will have his power to overcome the tricks that the devil has set out for us. Let's pray. Father, we come to you because you are our Heavenly Father, and you've told us to come, and you've told us to bring the things that we need. And Father, today we need our daily bread. We think, yes, I've got lunch, it's all ready, but what about those who don't? Father, help us to think about we and not just me. Father, we pray for forgiveness, and we all need it. Every day we need your forgiveness because we keep tripping up. Father, we ask for your forgiveness. And we ask that as we follow you and become like you, so we would be people who forgive others who have done things against us. And Father, we pray for temptation. Lord, we ask that each of us, you would keep that temptation away from us, that we wouldn't be tempted. Lead us not into temptation. And Father, we pray that as the devil tries to work out a way to trip us up, we pray for your strength and your wisdom to overcome him. So, Father, we pray for this week. We ask that you would help us to spend time with you. We would ask us to bring what it is that we need and what we're concerned about to you. Because we want you to be glorified this week in our lives. Our lives in our family, our lives in this fellowship, our lives in the community, Father, our lives in the whole family worldwide. We want you to be glorified. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Ellen. Thank you for making things real and practical and fun. Really enjoyed listening to you today. All right, so I think